Gateway Christian Center. Experience life.
So how to recognize your season or moment of visitation? How to recognize your season or your moment of visitation? Now, last week we talked about 40 points and we arrived at saying that every season of visitation will require three things. That is that attached to a season of visitation is time, is place, and is people. Praise God. And we finished off at the point when we're talking about people. Is that all right? Now, I want you to listen to me very carefully about that point. Everything God will do in your life, He will do it through someone. People are not just relationships. People are doorways. They are gates. It is through people that God executes His plans. It is through people that God establishes His purposes. Everything that God will do in the earth requires the cooperation of somebody. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And listen to me very carefully. Somebody is living in your prayer point today. What you are praying about is somebody's reality. Are you hearing what I'm saying? What you are praying about is somebody's reality. There was this joke, I don't know whether you heard it a long time ago, there was this joke that was being told around of a brother who was trusting God for 5,000 and he was really praying. They came in the church and another man also was praying, but that man was trusting God for about 5 million. So both of them were in church, they were praying, they were in a corner, they were praying. And the man that was trusting God for 5 million, he was not really praying hard like the brother was trusting God for 5,000. So the brother was trusting God for 5,000 was praying so hard that the man trusting God for 5 million was distracted from his own prayer. So the man stopped the brother. He said, "Brother, how much do you want?" He said, 5,000. He said, "Come." He went, opened his boot, took the 5,000, gave the brother, said, "You can go home. So and allow me to pray." Are you hearing what I'm saying? Your prayer point is somebody's reality. Somebody is living in what you are praying about. Are you understanding what I'm saying? In fact, let me tell you something. If God shows you mercy, one of the things that God does to show a man mercy is to reveal to you the person that has the answer to your prayer. You didn't get what I said. When God wants to show a man mercy, He reveals to you the man that is within His hand is what you are praying about. But listen to me. My prayer for you is that you will not offend the man that your answer is in His hand. I say, are you hearing what I'm saying? That because there are many people who, because of their inability to manage relationships, they are not skillful in relationships. There are certain things that there is not able to come into. So let's look at this scenario. How many of you know that Hannah used to go and pray every year for a child? How many of you know that? How many of you know that? And the last time she went to pray, the last prayer time of prayer she went, as she was praying, the Bible says that the priest, Eli, came into the place of prayer where she was praying. And the Bible says where she was praying, Eli said to her, "Woman, why are you drunk at a time such as this?" Because the manner of her prayer looked as though she was drunk. She was in so much distress and in so much, so it looked as if she was drunk. Whatever she was that she was doing, it looked as if she was drunk. So the priest came and said, why are you drunk at this time? Why would this not the place to drink? You know, all of that. Now, many times I read that scripture, I looked at the response of Hannah. So Hannah says to him, "Sir, I'm not drunk. I am praying out of a distress of heart. I'm worried. I'm concerned. I'm praying out of pain." Because the Bible says that Peninnah was provoking her all the time. So she said, "No, I'm not praying. I'm not drunk. I'm praying out of pain." But just imagine that Hannah was in Nigeria. I put that so that you will get the picture before we go far. And the man came and said, why are you praying like this? Are you drunk?" She would have kept her Bible further. "So who do you think you are talking to? Is it because you are the pastor so you think you can talk to everybody? Do you know what people are going through?" Are you understanding what I'm saying? Now, theologically, people believe. Is that okay? There's a belief. You know, Eli, in walking away, after she answered him, she said, I'm not drunk, but I'm praying out of a distress of heart. The Bible says, and Eli said to her, may the Lord answer your prayer. May the Lord hear your prayer. And there were certain things he said within the prayer. And people believe that if there was nothing, at least there were two people who agreed. And the Bible says, whatsoever two shall touch and agree, it shall be done for them. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Just imagine if she had insulted the prophet. Just imagine if her response, are you hearing what I'm saying? He would have said, let me just leave you alone. Let me allow you to face. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You see, many times, one of the greatest skills you must have, let me tell you this. Your greatest wealth is not what is in your bank account. Your greatest wealth is not the assets you have. See, listen to me. You can build a house, and somebody will just be in one office somewhere and said, all the houses in that place, they are coming to pull it down. And there's nothing you can do. Are you understanding what I'm saying? But they can decide to pull it down. Let me tell you a funny story. A friend of mine told me something. You know, for those of you that follow the news, you know that recently there has been some challenge. If those of you are in Abuja, you know there has been some challenge with River Park Estate. Those of you that know that. And I have a couple of friends who, at the very beginning when that estate was being built, somehow they got connected with the person that was involved and all of that, and then they had a fallout and all of that. Now, when I was in Abuja last year, the friend of mine took me to the place where the challenges were taking place. Took me, showed me their property, and said, this is our property, but we can't do anything, and so on and so forth, and all of that. We're standing together in prayer about the whole thing. So recently, I think something came up, and government gave an instruction for all the houses to be demolished. And his own was inside. They have just gone, they were just at lintel level. Not his own personal, so a work he was doing, a contract he was doing, they built a number of houses there, and they were at lintel level, and they gave that instruction that everything in that area should be demolished. And he said to me that the day the bulldozers rolled in, their building was the first building. And they were about to be demolished. And then suddenly, he just remembered that there was somebody that works in the ministry that he had not, in the ministry, that there was not part of that team. He did not know that person has been put in charge of that demolition. He just said, let him just call this person and just tell him, maybe. He said they had already pulled, they started pulling down the first building when he called him. And the guy just called and said, hey, this number, how is this number? So, don't do anything about it. Go to the next one. And that was how they jumped the whole place where he was building, went to the other one and pulled it down. Just a relationship that you have. Just one. I'm praying for you that you will have one. You see, sometimes you don't need too many. You need one. One. If God will give you one relationship that makes sense, it can change your life. If God can raise for you one person somewhere, just one person somewhere, just one person somewhere. So, your visitation is related to time. Your visitation is related to a place, and your visitation is related to somebody. There's somebody in your life. Let me tell you this. You are four people away from anybody that you want to see or do business or do anything in life. Four people. You presently, you know somebody that knows somebody that knows another person that knows the person you need to see. Presently. You are four people away from Donald Trump. If you want to see Donald Trump, you need three people to take you to Donald Trump. Three people, they exist right now in your life. The problem is that the way we have built our relationship with people, sometimes even when we know the people that can help us, we know based on the way we have treated people, we cannot go to them. Based on the way we have treated people, you cannot go to them. There are people you cannot see. There are people that, see, let me say this. There are people that know you need something. They know you need it. But because of the way you've treated them, they will not raise it with you. You cannot raise it with them. So both of you are looking at each other. And that is how you may never come into what God has for you, because of the way you handle people. People are your greatest asset. I hope you have the wisdom to handle them well. You didn't hear what I said. I said, people are your greatest asset. May God grant you the wisdom to handle them well. The people you think the least, probably are the people that will give you the greatest open door. One of the things I used to appreciate for Francis, Alex, about, I've said it many times to church, you know, we went to a place, there was a building, we wanted to use our last church office building. We needed the place to use for something, for office. And then we were negotiating, and they were just revert. What they told us was that there was a government agency that had come already ahead of us that had already gave them an offer, which was far, far more than what we were offering. And they had rejected the offer, which was like double what we were offering, and they had rejected the offer. So we came with something that was less than maybe about 30% of what that government agency had offered those people for the building. And they were just doing us back and forth. Oh, go and meet this one. Oh, go and talk to this person. Oh, go and talk. Then I think I came to church and I announced that I announced something, and Alex had it. After service, we didn't know that the son to the woman that owns the building is his friend. That's how he went and spoke to the woman about it. And what we were offering was what was received. Relationship can give you what your money cannot give you. Relationship will give you what your money cannot give you. Be careful how you fight people. Be careful how you, when you're offended, somebody has offended you. Somebody, even when somebody has offended you, be careful what you say. You may walk away. You may walk away. You may have said your mind and walked away. But actually that walking away was your future that walked away. Was the doors that God had for you that walked away. You said your mind. Yes. You know, we say, we like Nigeria, we like to say, I said my mind. That saying your mind will be what will take you into trouble. It's not every time you say your mind. And it's not to everybody you say your mind. Somebody was seriously misbehaving recently. So I called someone who I consider a very important person in their lives. And I said to the person, I said, this matter. I said, I want to appeal to you, sir, if you can call the attention of these people. Then the way the man replied to me, he just said, there was a way his voice just went quiet. And he said, I will get back to you on the matter. So I knew something was happening, and I left the matter there. 3 days later, this very senior person writes to me. He wrote to me a very long chat, and he began by saying, he said, these people that you want me to talk to, he said, I'm sorry, I cannot talk to them. He said, they don't have honor for me like the way you have it. So don't assume that because you honor me, they will honor me. Then he said, he wrote a couple of things. He said, many times I have tried to speak to them on things. He said, and they have rebuffed me. And he made a very damning statement. He said, these people have decided to constitute their life into a nuisance. Leave them. We will see their end. So there are people who are sitting down and they are waiting for how you will end. When I read, because I felt that it was important for them that somebody spoke. So when the person spoke, me too, I had to queue. I had to dress. I had to join the people and say, okay, let's see you. Sometimes there are people control things. Are you hearing what I'm saying? People control things. People control systems. People control territory. You are trying to do something. You don't know that people are the gates into that place that you are trying to enter. So you don't know that within certain cycles you are being discussed. Within certain cycles, your matter is being considered. Listen to me. Whether you are going to be received, and you don't need to know everybody that is there. You just need to know one person, and that one person needs to either recommend you or discourage the group. I tell people something. There is the king and there's the throne. There are two different people. There's the king and there's the throne. The throne, some people are holding it. And the throne is more powerful than the king. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Let me tell you, let me say it to you in Nigerian language. When they tell you that the presidency and the president, they are two different people. The presidency often is more powerful than the president. The presidency, the president here is to the presidency. They may not be more than 5 people, 10 people. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You may even look at them and say, why are these people here? The reason why they are there was that when the president was a nobody, when people were in the trenches, are you hearing what I'm saying? They were loyal to that position. Are you getting my point? Now, 20 years later, 30 years later, over time, a structure has been built around that system that it is difficult until they welcome you. You can't enter it. So I want you to understand, get this, that where you are trying to go to, are you hearing what I'm saying? Where you are trying to go to, there are people who are gatekeepers in those places. And I want you to hear me well. May God grant you wisdom so that you don't offend the people that are you hearing me, that are keeping the gates. God sent Jonah to Nineveh. Jonah says no good. The problem I had with it was that, okay, if Jonah will not go, is he the only prophet in the land? Does God not have 7,000 people that have not bowed the knee? Why didn't he go and pick somebody? May the thing that needs to be done in your life not be the part of somebody's assignment. If it is part of somebody's assignment, God will wait until that person passes and he raises another man and gives him that assignment. So just, we don't know how long Jonah refused to go, but it meant that Nineveh could not come into the place of deliverance until the day Jonah decided he was going to go. And look at what God had to do to corner Jonah into accepting to go to Nineveh. Build relationships. Honor the people God puts in your life. Sometimes even when you don't agree with people, don't dishonor them. Disagreement is not a reason for dishonor. Disagreement is not a reason for dishonor. You don't have to agree with people all the time. Children don't agree with their parents, but they honor them. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Husband may not agree with wife. Wife may not agree with husband, but they respect. Are you getting me? They submit. Disagreement is not a reason for dishonor. Understand it. I can disagree with you, but I don't have to dishonor you. When you dishonor, you go beyond the, I can disagree on a matter. Are you hearing me? I can disagree on a matter. But when I dishonor you, I'm not only dishonoring you on that matter. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So when Vashti dishonored the king, it was beyond the fact that what was happening between them. It went beyond what was happening between them. Because dishonor does not speak only to the person you have dishonored. Dishonor speaks to all the people around the person you have dishonored. So even when you want to dishonor somebody, because of the environment you find yourself, keep that honor in place. Keep that honor in place. Because when the day, like I said to you, when the day comes when people will speak, you will be surprised who will be speaking. You'll be surprised at people who knew you dishonored the person but didn't say anything. They held their peace. So even if the person desires to favor you, you know it was not the king that sentenced Vashti. It was the people around the king. They said, this one, no. Honor can be felt. Respect is contagious. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yes. Don't dishonor men. People sense it. People know it. Hallelujah. Now let me say this, that let's go to the book of Luke chapter 19 verse 41. Luke 19, 41. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hast known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace. Now let me say something before we continue. The word peace in Hebrew is not serenity. Are you hearing me? It's not a sense of the absence of conflict. When you say peace, you are referring to a totality. The word peace, direct translation in Hebrew, is nothing broken, nothing missing. So it's a complete, it's a point of complete peace. Are you hearing me? Provision, prosperity, comfort. Are you hearing me? It has nothing, it does not have much to do with external. It has to do with internal. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Or your general state. So Jesus was saying, if you knew, look at it, he says, If thou hast known, even thou at least, in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, that is the things that will bring your prosperity, the things that will bring your peace, are you hearing me? The things that will ensure your preservation, if you knew. Then he made a statement, he says, but now they are hid from thine eyes. Yes, next verse. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee around and keep thee in on every side. Yes, and they shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another. Why? Because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. See, let me tell you. Let me say this. Are you hearing me? All these things we do are very good and they are okay and they have the capacity to provoke a visitation. But listen to me. May God visit you. After everything is said and done, are you hearing me? The greatest thing that can happen to you is a visitation. Are you hearing me? It's an encounter. When an encounter happens, all your calculation becomes zero. All your planning, all your organization. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Everything we're doing is to provoke, is to attract a visitation. What I'm saying to you is that at the end of the day, what makes the difference in men was the man that had an encounter. At the end of the day, is whether you had an encounter or you did not have an encounter. Sir, I hope you know the man that Jesus met at the pool at Bethesda. I hope you know that day, he was not the only man that was still crippled. I hope you know he was not the only man that was still lame. I hope you know that he was not the only man that was still having challenges. But that day, it was him that Jesus met. So it didn't matter whether an angel stirred the pool or not. It didn't matter the calculation changes. Three signs of a visitation, or three systems of a visitation. Number one, 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 21. 1 Samuel 3, 21. 1 Samuel 3, 21. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of God. The first way that a visitation happens is that a visitation happens by the revelation of the word. Why are we talking about it? People can have a visitation and not even know that they had a visitation. Jacob had a visitation and did not even know that he had a visitation. People can have an encounter and not even realize, because there is a difference between being spiritual and being spiritually intelligent. Some people are spiritual, but they are not spiritually intelligent. That is that they can have an encounter and not even know that they had an encounter. They can meet with God. Jacob said, God was here and I did not know. He said, God was here and I did not know. It took him 21 years to have that kind of encounter again. People have met with God. Listen, if you go to the book of Job, if you can get it for me. Job said, look, I visit God. God was speaking. What was that? What was that chapter in Job? He said, I go to my side, I speak to them. I talk to them. He said, but man does not see it. The man does not hear it. God visits men, but they don't see it. He said, in the night, he comes to them. He talks to them. They don't hear it. Many things are happening to people. God is visiting people, warning them, giving them information, giving them direction, but they don't get it. They don't get it. The Bible says he revealed himself in Shiloh by the word of God. That's how he revealed himself. Many people miss it. You are sitting down. Listen to me. You're sitting down here. You're here. The word is being taught. And then you're just here. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Let me just give you an instance. Maybe you're here and you're just going through a season of challenge. And maybe somebody just comes and is preaching. I'm just giving an illustration. Is that all right? Somebody just comes and is giving an illustration. And he says, maybe he reads from a scripture. And the person just says, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. You're going through a challenge. And when you came to church today, as message was being taught, what you heard was that I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. Maybe you just watched what you heard. And you left this place. And you went home. And all you were hearing was abundance of rain. That idea of abundance of rain does not leave you. You just care. Now, what I told you something at the last time I taught. What you're supposed to do is go, pick up your Bible. Search where does the Bible talk about abundance of rain. Are you hearing me? We have finished 21 days of prayer and fasting. But if I were you, I will declare my own now. I will now declare my own. I say, Lord, unto you, reveal what you are trying to say. Because this one that the word of God, this word is keeps coming to me. It means something is, are you hearing me? It means something is happening here. You sit with that scripture. And then suddenly, as you are sitting with that scripture, an idea, something bursts out of that scripture. And says, go and start a water, whatever, distribution business. You see, ba? The reason why you may miss it is because you have been carrying your CV from one organization to the other. So even when God is telling you, are you hearing me? During the time of praying and fasting, God showed you, you were sitting down, you read the word of God, you were meditating, and then suddenly an idea came to you on how to start a water distribution business. Are you hearing me? And you were sitting down and 15 ideas entered your spirit at that time. Because you are looking at one ministry, you are looking at Ministry of Wildlife, where you put your CV. Even when God is talking to you, you will not hear what God is saying. And let me tell you what you don't know. You keep rejecting that idea. God will take the idea. He will give it to your neighbor. You didn't hear what I said. He will not take it far. He told Saul, I have given it to your neighbor. Which means it will be somebody you know. It will be somebody that you will eventually in the next 3 years, you will see has become a multimillionaire with the idea that you always had. I told you, I had a friend of mine. He was saying, he kept telling me, I was in Lagos, he was always calling me and saying, he wants to start suit business. He wants to start doing suit business. He told me, say, I should go and do research for him in Lagos. I went and did research. I came back. I said, this is where you get brand new suits. In this place, they sew suits. Very nice. To encourage him, I sold two for myself. I sold shirts. I said, you see this shirt? They sold it for me, you know, and all of that. I did research for him. All he kept saying is that he's going to do. He even showed me the shop he was intending. They were building, you know, the while they are building, people go and book for it. He showed me the shop. 2 years later, a lady we know, sister to our friend, went and rented that particular shop and was selling suits. Me and him went to buy our suit for our wedding in the shop. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He revealed himself by the word. Look at it. For God speaketh once, and yet twice, yet man perceived it not. Next verse. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men, in slumberings upon the bed, yes, then he opened the ears of men and sealed their instruction, yes, that he may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from man, so that he can keep back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. How did he? The first system of encounter is an encounter by the word of God. You're going through something and the word of God is preached on that thing. It's an encounter you have had, though. The weight, are you hearing me? The weight, the seriousness, the importance you attach to that thing that you heard from God determines your next breakthrough. It determines your next open door. People are waiting. See, listen to me. What you are looking for, people are waiting for some massive. Listen to me. Let me say this to you. How many people that you know have been healed in crusades? I'm not saying nobody's been healed. Are you hearing me? But the quantity is very few. But if everybody, are you hearing me? Everybody that has a challenge in his body in church can take the word of God and sit with the word of God. Are you hearing me? Give those people 3 months. You will see visible changes in their lives. But you know, we don't want to do that. We want somebody to lay hands on us. We want somebody to, you know. And many times, it was this sister that gave a prophecy, gave a testimony of certain instructions that she received from the Lord. That she was looking for a job. And then she just had an instruction to take painting and take it to the man. And she did not know. This is how God works. Let me tell you this how God works. She did not know the dealings that the man, what the man was going through. She did not have an idea. But she heard God tell her, take the painting and take it to him. Even when she was saying it, me, I thought it was just a nice painting. I didn't know the painting had a message. And she took the painting to the man. And it was what the man was going through at that time. She took the painting to him. And the man said to her, how did you know what I was going through? And that was how she got the job. I was trusting God. I was traveling and I spent a lot of money. And my money was actually finished. I didn't have money to fuel. So, but somebody did us a favor. And I felt that I should go and say thank you. I could literally actually have called the person. Somebody who respects me, a younger minister, I could have literally just called the person on phone and said thank you, you know, for it. It was his joy that I made request for him to give us the equipment. But I just felt that, no, let me honor him. Because I was asking them to give us equipment in Abuja and they were calling me serious money. Just calling money for it. So they were calling me. So I just said, who are the ministers I know? I said, who will do something if I ask? And I said, this person. So I called up, went to someone, called up the person and said, please, we need this equipment. He said, tell your guys to come. Anything I have that they need, let them take. So they came, took two keyboards, this one, that one. If you enter the hall, you will think, Kai. People were telling me, Kai, Pastor, you really tried. What it took you to do this, to put up this meeting? What it took me was a good relationship with somebody. I remember one day, I was traveling somewhere. They were coming from Abuja. I was going to Bauchi. And I spoke with Pastor. She told me she was coming. I think we were supposed to meet for something, but they came late. I was going to Bauchi around 7 p.m. in the night. I spoke with her. I called her before I took off. I said, we are going to meet each other on the way. But I want to greet your brother. So, if they are, wherever you are, just be briefing me. So, whenever, any town we enter, I will stop, we greet. So, we got to Alkaleri. They got there before me. So I told her, tell your brothers I want to say hello. One of them was the one we prayed for. They kidnapped his family. We prayed for them. I had not met him. After they released the family, I had not met with him in person. So they were passing. They were coming. So I told them, tell them I want to greet him. I've not met in person. So they stopped in Alkaleri. I stopped. And we met and we greeted her. That was just it. Let me tell you. That was it. The young man, many years ago, he was going to do something and he was passing through. And he said he wanted to see me for counsel. I told him, I said, bring him. Let's take counsel. We took counsel. God helped him. And God has blessed him. He's doing well. So I just said, let me go there and greet him. I didn't have to. I said, let me go. I said, I want to go to your house and greet you. He said, I have already gone to the office. I said, okay, I'm coming. He said, you don't need to. I said, no, it's okay. I went to greet him. And I was in his office. And that morning, I had prayed. I told God, this is what I need to return. And I was in the office. And then he began to share some ministry issues. And his elder brother walked in. And they sat. And he said, in fact, they came in with somebody. There were three of them. Then he told the other guy, I think the driver or something. He said, please go out. We want to talk to Pastor. So he went out. So we sat down. And I said, God gave me utterance as we were talking. I began to share certain things with them. Suddenly, the elder brother said, sir, if somebody was here, if somebody didn't know you, you will think that you know the story of what is happening. He said, for many years, we have been telling our brother this thing you are saying. He said, thank God is coming from you. The thank God is coming from you. After I finished speaking, he said, this was what I needed. Walked me downstairs. We went downstairs. About to enter my car, he walked up to me. He said, please, sir, don't be angry. Send me your account number. Let me send you money for fuel. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's how it works. And let me tell you why it works. When it happens like this, nobody takes the glory. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When it happens like this, nobody takes the glory. We were leaving town yesterday, 5 a.m. He came out. He came to meet me to say bye-bye. When it happens like this, nobody takes the glory. God takes the glory. See, we know you. Listen to me. There are people who go to church. There are people who are believers. There are people who sit down and do business with God. And people who sit to do business with God, is the word of God is the medium of exchange. He said to them, he said, come up. He said, come meet me with words. That's what Micah said. Micah said, come up. He said, meet me, come to me with words. Let's talk. We do business with God on the promises he has made. He revealed himself through his word. If you don't get it, you will become, you will just be sitting in church. If, are you hearing me? Somebody, let me tell you this. Somebody came to this church after service. I was welcome first timers. And the lady stood up and said she wanted to say, she had something to say. I said, okay. She said that she noticed I didn't do altar call. Let me tell you something. Altar call is good, it's not bad. But listen to me. If you are going to depend on altar call for you to be ministered unto, you will stay for a long time. You are like that man that waits for the water to be stirred. You can be here for 38 years. If you don't learn to take what is being taught, and go and do business with it, you will be here. You're waiting for somebody to lay hands on you. You're waiting to have personal counseling. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's why we like meetings where somebody comes and says, there's somebody over there, this happening to you, there's somebody over there. How many meetings do you do? Even the people who do those things, go to their meetings. They don't do it every day. Yes. Go to their churches. They don't do it every day. It's not every day that you experience that manifestation of the Spirit. Receive the word of God. Sit on it. That is the cheapest way. That's the fastest way. And that is an everyday possibility in your life. I can have the miraculous. I can have a visitation. I can have an encounter daily. That is the promise of Scripture. Give me this day my daily bread. That is the commitment of Scripture. It means I can have an encounter. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Do you know? Listen to me. Do you know you can go to God on a matter and receive clarity on that matter? Not guesswork. Let me share this with you. No, I'm not going to. I don't want to go because I'm waiting for the completion of the testimony, and I'll share it. When we were coming back the last time from Abuja, I just went to greet somebody, and as I was leaving, the husband walks up to me and says to me, "Sir, just walked up to me privately. Sir, we're having an issue." I said, "What is it?" He said, "This is this. The doctor said this about my wife, and all of that." And I said to the person, "When I get back to Gombe, I will send you instructions." I got back here and I sent him instructions. I sent him certain instructions for prayer. I sent instructions, fasting and other things. I sent instructions. And we got doing it. So this time around, I was going back. On the morning I was returning, I was going to call the person because he had called me the day before I was to travel. But I didn't pick the call. I picked the call and told him I'd get back to him. I didn't get back to him. Then in the morning, first in the morning, he calls me. So we were talking. So I tell him I'm on my way. And he said this to me. He said, I was going to tell him, the Lord ministered to me. He said, get a second opinion on this matter. So I was going to tell him that morning, go and get a second opinion. The Lord said, and the Lord gave me a word. And the Lord said to me, the moment he was talking to me, when he walked up to me and he was talking to me, that day, reporting the situation to me, I heard it clearly. He shall not allow any of his bones to be broken. And I knew what it meant because there was a major surgery to be done. And the Lord said, none of his bones shall be broken. And I know. That's why I said there's a difference between being spiritual and being spiritually intelligent. The moment I heard that none of his bones shall be broken. Because when a bone is broken, surgery is required. Most probably, right? Not in every case, but surgery is required to bring it together. So, and the breaking of the bone is a detachment. Isn't it? It's a detachment. Something detaches. So what was happening was going to require a major surgery. And they were going to do some things. The moment he told me, and I heard the Lord say, and none of his bones shall be broken. So I knew at that moment that what God was saying is that no part of this person's body would be cut off. But I knew that person, like I didn't have the time. So I said to the person, this is what we're going to do. So I was going, but the person calls me. And he said to me, he said, we went for a second opinion. I was about telling him, that was what I was going to tell you first this morning. Go for a second opinion. But you see, when people take instructions seriously, and even God, you see, let me tell you something. This thing we do in church, somewhere along the line, God has to save us from it. This idea of pastor must do it for you, pastor must pray for you. But if we don't see, it has reduced the level of our impact. It has reduced the quantity of our testimonies. Because we don't want to get in. We don't want to do the labor of faith. We don't want it. So he called me. He said, "Sir, we should take a second." I kept saying, "That was what I was going to tell you. That was what I was going to tell you." So he said, "We went and took a second opinion." And the person said, "Kai, this surgery may not really." He said, "This is what the man said.
He said, we did another scan. And the doctor said, I'm not seeing anything. He said, I'm not seeing what you are saying. I'm not seeing it. Then he said, the doctor gave them an appointment to come back after some days. When they got there, they didn't meet the doctor. But they met, they said, it's a general something. So they went, and that man they met, when he saw what they were talking about, he said, go and do another one. They went and did another one. The man said, I'm not seeing anything. So I said to him, let's not leave. That's why I said, I told him, since they said they gave him this 4 weeks or 6 weeks to come back. So I said, when the 6 week is done, we will do the proper testimony. But it was a word that came. None of their bones shall be broken. Now, that is how God, are you hearing what I'm saying? That is how God visits men. You are looking for a contract. You don't need the man that is in charge of approving the contract to approve it. You need God to give you a word on the contract. If God gives you a word on the contract, see, listen to me. Even if the man that is the approving agent does not want to do it, you have gotten it. If it takes God removing that man and bringing another one, God will do it. If he gave his word on it. And let me tell you, this is the heart, listen to me, is the root of unbelief. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It is the root of unbelief. Because men would prefer somebody to come and say, there's somebody here, you're having a problem with your bone on your leg, come out. We prefer that one. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We prefer that one than the dealings we have with God. And the meaning of that is that we remain babes in the presence of God for the rest of our life. So if there is nobody, if there's no agent that God will use over your life, you are not capable enough to hear God and then implement the instructions that God is giving to you. One day God spoke to me, very interesting. I was not well, I was on my bed. Then God spoke to me. He said, is there anybody who is sick amongst you? He said, let the elders of the church lay hands upon him. I was all by myself. I said, what do you mean? The Lord said, are you not an elder of the church? I said, yes, sir. He said, lay hands on yourself. Then I read the one that blew me. He said, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So one day when I read it, I said, I am sick. I'm a believer. The believer shall lay his hands on the sick. I said, I'm a believer. I happen to be sick. I have a hand. Oh, are you hearing what I'm saying? He revealed himself. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He revealed himself by the word in Shiloh. And I wish I had time to give you the background. Because those people have not heard the word of God for almost 200 years. By the time that this man decided to sit with God. Because when you go back, the assignment of Samuel was that he sat before the presence of the Lord. See, listen to me, church. Miracle is cheap if you know how to get it. You can live in the miraculous daily. Daily. You can live in the miraculous daily. Let me tell you this. What is applicable to other people is not necessarily applicable to you if you know the word of God. You didn't hear what I said. What is applicable? Are you hearing me? They said that if you are coming to ministry, you will sleep on bench. That everybody who came into ministry, they suffered. One day, I was listening to Christopher Akilomi. Christopher Akilomi said, that was before I came to ministry. He said, he heard that when he was preparing to go to ministry, he heard that everybody who was going to ministry in his day had to sleep on bench. He said, he discovered something in scripture that not everybody must sleep on bench. He said when he discovered it, he decided he will not sleep on bench. When I heard him say it, me too, I went to make the discovery of why. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So not everybody sleeps on bench because he came to ministry. It is the revelation that you walk in that works for you. So you walk in how God reveals himself to you is what works for you. Somebody with integrity, with good intention, may end up sleeping in bed. Bro, sis, me, the revelation I had, I will not sleep on bench. So when, are you hearing what I'm saying? I came, started the work since the day I started till today. The only time that they didn't eat in my house was not the absence of food. Rather, it was the presence of fasting. Are you hearing what I'm saying? In this city, and you see, let me tell you, somebody in this town will come and drop bag of corn. We will not know who the person is. They will come, they will drop beans. We will not know who the person is. I've gone to the chemist. Are you hearing me? Bought drugs for 1 year. The man was my neighbor. So the reason why I went was, you know, your neighbor has pharmacy. So you are going to do, you know, market for him, being your neighbor. For the first 4 or 5 times I went there, the man would not collect money. One day, the man was not a, he's a Catholic. He doesn't worship with us. One day I said to him, I said, sir, this thing is becoming a bit embarrassing. At least from time to time, just collect the money. The man looked at me in the eye and said to me, Pastor, do you know what God told me? So that man rebuked me. See, I've seen things. And are you hearing what I'm saying? I saw things. We were leaving Maiduguri. You're leaving me to come here. And I didn't tell anybody that God had called me to come and start a work. I respected the integrity of where I was working. So I didn't want anything. But there was a brother who was older than me. He was a consultant and older than me, that was my assistant in the office. So I felt that, okay, the few weeks to go had come. It would not be good for him to hear it on the stage that I was leaving. So I told him, let's go and meet him and tell him that we're going to be leaving Taiwan. When we got into the house, we were sitting down. And I just told him, I said, I don't know whether you heard any rumor or anything, but I want to tell you that I will be moving on to do something. And his wife was in the room. He just laughed. He called his wife. The wife came out. He said, did I not tell you? He said, the Lord told us that you will be leaving to start a work. And that we should give you so-so amount every month for the first 1 year. And he said to me, and the money we're giving you is for your family, not for the church. He said, because I know you, if we give you money, you will put it in the church. That man gave us that amount of money every month. In fact, there was a time the man went abroad and he couldn't transfer money. Do you know that the day he landed in Nigeria, he was in the airport. He called me, said, I'm in the airport. Please send me that your account number again. Because me, I asked him. I can take you to where I asked him. It was on a hill in Obi. I was sitting there. I asked him. I said, sir. I didn't even know I said, sir. Peter said, we have left all to follow you. I asked. And he responded. Listen to me. Every divine encounter begins with the word. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When we say divine encounter, don't go in your room and be waiting for the day ceiling will lift up. Then you have a divine encounter. So that you are not disappointed. See, listen to me. It's the reason why you must understand this, so that you can praise God rightly. Oh, you are not understanding what I'm saying. Because some people can get a visitation and be disappointed because they didn't. Are you hearing me? Because Naaman, when Naaman came before the prophet, when they sent him, you know, the king sent him to the, he didn't even go to the prophet. He went to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel was perplexed. And then the prophet sent a message to the king. He said, tell Naaman to come to me, that he may know that there's a prophet in Egypt and in Israel. When he came, the prophet didn't go out. What did the prophet do? He sent him a word. He was standing by the door of the prophet's house. He got offended. And that's how the picture of many people in church are. He got offended. He said, I was expecting that the prophet will come out and he will wave his hand to heaven. We like drama. If drama does not take place, we don't believe God is in it. I expected that the prophet will come out. And he will wave his hands to heaven. And he will call upon the name of his God. And the prophet just sent a message by one of his disciples. Said, go and tell him, go to the Jordan. That was what offended him the most. Because the Jordan is not a clean river. Up till today, the Jordan is not a clean river. And it's not even a very big river. Then he said to him, sir, if you wanted me to have a bath, are there no better rivers where I'm coming from? Sending me to this dirty place. He got offended and left. Listen to me. When God wants to do something, God does not always appear in the spectacular. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God does not always appear in the spectacular. Let me tell you something. It is in meetings like this that people move, and then you hear something unusual happens to their life. Listen to me. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He said, and of all the seeds, it is the smallest seeds. He said, but when it is planted, it grows and becomes a great tree. The
The kingdom of God is not known at the point of inception. The kingdom of God is known at the point of manifestation. And because many people often see the kingdom of God at the point of manifestation, they don't usually know that there's a point of inception. They neglect the point of inception looking for manifestations. And the problem is that they never arrive at manifestation because they neglected the day of conception of the thing that God wants to do. Let me tell you, is the reason why even when God raises great men, people say he just appeared. He didn't just appear. He has been there. He has been seeding. You just discovered it. Sit with the word this year. Sit with it. And see the manifestations that will happen in your life. And see the manifestations that will happen in your life. Don't run for the spectacular. Don't always go for the manifestation. Sit with it. To me, I had the Spirit of the Lord minister to me this. The Lord said I should tell us that the way you are allocating, you are budgeting your year, you are planning your year, and allocating time for certain things. Allocate time for the word this year. In your program this year, allocate time. And let me say this. Everything in life is taught. Everything is learned. Are you hearing me? Everything you see a man does, he learned it somewhere. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When you see a child walking, it's because he saw the adults walking. Are you understanding what I'm saying? If you see a child eating something, it was because he saw an adult also try. Are you eating that thing? So he wants to try. Listen to me. Everything is learned. If you are reading the word of God and you are struggling with it, find somebody that can disciple you in the word. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Skillfulness in the word is not a product of your effort. Skillfulness in the word of God is not textbook. Even textbook, somebody must teach you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You can be discipled in scripture. And let me say this. If you want to have a life that makes sense, may your miracles come from the word. And the Bible said Priscilla and Aquila met a man called Apollos. And that man was already a student. I mean, that guy was already a preacher, known preacher. He was being a blessing. But the Bible says that he was only skillful in the word, in the teachings of John. That means that he does not know anything about the new covenant. His revelation ended. He was instructing people in the practice of the new covenant, but he was using the old covenant at the basis of his revelation. Are you understanding what I'm saying? The Bible says, and Priscilla and Aquila took him, and the Bible says, and they taught him the word of God more accurately. In other words, whatever it was that you knew, there was somebody that you can still be better in it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So they taught him the word of God more accurately. Listen to me. You can be a more accurate husband. You can be a more accurate wife. You can be a more accurate child. You can be a more accurate student. You can be a more accurate minister if you can find somebody who can disciple you. Another word for discipling is that somebody who can mentor you. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? So therefore, he found somebody that taught him the word of God more accurately. He didn't say he taught him perfectly. He taught him more accurately. Now listen, by 3 books later of the Bible, by the time you land in the book of Corinthians, Paul is now speaking about this man. The people that taught this man, Priscilla and Aquila, they were co-ministers of Paul. They were actually junior ministers. They were the pastors of the church in Rome. They visited the church in Ephesus and met him there. And the church in Ephesus was planted by Timothy, a son of Paul. But they were co-workers with Paul. Now, later in the book of Corinthians, this man is being spoken about. And Paul was now speaking to him. That Apollos had arrived at a stature that his level was equal with Paul. That the whole church was having a problem. That some were saying, I'm of Paul. And some were saying, I'm of Apollos. And Bible historians believe Apollos wrote the book of Hebrews. Not Paul. This year, budget time for sitting with the word. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Go and find out the background of people who had breakthroughs in the world. They were men. Oh, and those of you who are business people, please listen to me. Never come to the point where you think you are so good in business you don't need God. It was recently I was watching a video. They showed this man, Cosmos Maduka. And he was in a major meeting. I think he was invited to do something. He took the Bible. He said that his Bible secret is in this thing.
So let me put it this way. If you have not arrived at Cosmos, please, I encourage you to go for the Bible first. When you pass where Cosmos is, you can find another revelation. But for now, is anybody hearing me? That I can actually do business by the word. Maybe that is what we should call our meetings on Sunday morning. I didn't want to call this success, this thing. Business by the word. Sunday morning, 8 a.m. Business by the word. You see how revelation works?
Gateway Christian Center. Experience life.